Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information either given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Again, you can contact me by email at preacher@eastalbertville.org, and East Albertville is one word. In the book of James, in chapter 3, we read in those first 12 verses things that were said concerning the tongue. And what I want us in our study this morning to do is to look at a proper as well as the improper use that can be made of the tongue. James said in verse 5 of James 3, the tongue is a little member, but it's capable of exerting an influence over our entire lives. If not restrained, if not guarded, it'll ruin all the religion and the influence that a person has. You know, some think it's good to speak their mind. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And James says in James 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So what we're dealing with in the tongue and what James hopes to help us to see is that the tongue truly is powerful. In verse 4 of James 3, he says it's like a rudder that controls a mighty ship. In verses 5 and 6, he says it's like a flame of fire that can quickly swell and consume everything around it. It can cause neighbors to no longer be friends. It can cause damage. It can cause harm within a family. It can break up marriages. And it's a major cause of division and dissension within the congregation of God's people. In chapter 3, let's read verse 6, beginning. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So this is why we see that the tongue must be guarded, or, as James says, bridled. It can cause great harm. It can cause irrevocable harm when used in an ungodly way. But at the same time, it can be a blessing, and it can promote the greatest good when we use it within the proper framework. What I hope in our study today is to look at how this consists of both good and bad, proper and improper, both negative and positive uses that we can make of the tongue. I once heard about a servant sent to buy the best piece of meat, and he returned with a tongue. He was sent to purchase the worst piece of meat, and he returned with a tongue. So, in fact, I heard too that there was a laser-guided bomb can cause a tremendous explosion, but it will do no more harm than in its immediate area. However, a tongue can do damage from sea to sea and from around the world. An ungodly tongue is a babbling tongue. A babbling tongue, what we're saying is one that tells all of its secrets and even the secrets of others. It tells about all of the scandal, all of the gossip, all of the slander of the neighbor, of the church. And yet, Proverbs 26, we read with verse 20, where no word is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, describes Susan, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindled strife. It's in the 6th chapter of Proverbs, verse 16. These 6 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7, are an abomination to him. And when we look down to verse 19, it says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. In the 101st chapter of Psalms, in verse 5, it says, whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. And in Psalms 15, verse 1 beginning, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And regarding deacons, we read about in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. You know, much trouble and a lot of strife comes from gossiping and those that go between. You know, when Eve took the forbidden fruit, there was a tempter speaking lies. When the Philistines, you remember, took Samson, there was Delilah, who persuaded him with lies. There has always been trouble with those who both tell and believe evil reports. 2, Paul spoke of those that would cause trouble with their tongues. In 1 Timothy 5, it says in verse 13, and withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 11, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You know, how many times do you leave and speak evil? For example, if you attend church services, how many times do you leave the building and you speak evil of the church? You know, you grumble and you complain about your brethren or what's going on. You have, as they sometimes say, fried preacher or stewed song leader for dinner. You know, think about your children that are hearing these things coming out of your mouth. You know, you mouth off about the church to your working associates, and then you expect them to obey the gospel. You expect them to come when you invite them to a gospel meeting or something. You know, it doesn't matter even if what you say may be true. You have no right to spread it out into the public. Your influence and the church's influence is destroyed. Many things sometimes are just better left unsaid. But another thing about the tongue. An ungodly tongue is an angry tongue. There are those that speak as they should under normal circumstances, and then they lash out and speak their true character in a moment of rage. You know, sometimes people try to justify their angry tongue by saying, well, you know, it's an outlet to vent our anger, or that's just the way I am. Well, in Proverbs 14, verse 17, it says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In Proverbs 15, and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man boundeth in A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And then Paul made the statement in Ephesians 4 by inspiration in verse 31, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In James 1 and verse 19 it says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Another thing about the tongue. An ungodly tongue is a promise-making, but a promise-breaking tongue. How many times do you see and how many times do you hear people make promises, but have no intention of keeping their word? You know, a man's yes needs to mean yes. A man's no needs to mean no. In Matthew 5 and verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. When it comes to a Christian's word needs to be his bond. Same is true of a parent. Do our children realize that, well, sometimes when we say no, that there could be a yes? So, you know, even to our children, have we properly used and are we a person of our word when we say no, no, or yes, yes? And, you know, don't say that you're going to do something unless you're going to do it. I hear so often parents threaten their children to discipline them when they do something, and yet because they don't do it immediately, then the discipline never does get administered, and the child knows that. So whenever the child hears the parent say, I'll discipline you for this, then they just shrug it off, because how many times have they heard that and the parent never do anything about it? Well, one thing about my parents is if my parents said that they were going to discipline me, I knew just as sure as they said it, it was going to happen. You know, lying is a grievous sin. Listen to what we read in Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters. You know, what a list of sins. But I didn't read one of them. Among that list, it says also, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And not just some liars. The verse says all liars. Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says, Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Another thing, an ungodly tongue is an idle tongue. That word idle means to be unfruitful or barren. These are words that simply just don't edify. They don't encourage. They're words that speak lightly. They're words that we speak sort of frivolously or jesting about holy or spiritual things. In Matthew 12, Jesus said in verse 36, But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. In Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. Jesting is something that is vulgar in its sense. It's lewd, it's licentiousness. So that's the kind of jesting that we need to avoid. excuse me. But also, a godly tongue is a tongue that's used in a positive way. Remember, we read there in James that the tongue can bless or it can curse. In James 3, let's look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith bless we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. See, we need to be using our tongue in a positive way, to build up, to encourage, not to destroy, not to pull down. And we can offer words of praise, blessings, encouragement to others with our tongues. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. In Proverbs 10, verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. You know, to those that are young, to those that we look up to, you know, we may never know, or perhaps years later learn, just how much our words of encouragement meant to someone. In Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It's in Proverbs 16 and verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. It's in Isaiah 50 and verse 4 that the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And it's in Luke 4 and verse 22, he said that all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And in Colossians 4 and verse 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So we can offer words of praise, but we can also praise when we sing. And that certainly is a good use of our tongues. In Psalms 47 and verse 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. In Psalms 92 and verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. We find that when Paul and Silas were put into prison at Philippi. In Acts chapter 16, we read in verse 25, that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So we can sing. That's a good thing, to sing praises unto God with our tongues. But also, we can use our tongues to pray. We pray for God's blessings. We thank Him for what we receive. That's certainly something that we need to make use of our tongues to do. Jesus, remember in Matthew 6 and verse 9, gave the model prayer of how to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we can teach others what to do to be saved, to save their souls. What a wonderful use of the tongue that is. The Lord has no tongue but our tongues. We need to think about that. So therefore, we need to teach His word. We need to spread that blessed gospel, that good news. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be seasoned, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we see then that the tongue must be used in a proper and a right way, and we need to recognize the proper as well as the improper use of the tongue. So the question that we must ask ourselves, and I hope it is a question that we will ask ourselves, what use are we making of our tongues? Are we guilty? Are we going to be condemned because of the use that we have made of our tongues? Or are we going to be blessed by our tongues and the use that we have made of them? Let's turn to James chapter 3 and begin our reading at verse 1. My brethren, let not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So no fountain both yields salt water and fresh. When we notice what we see here, some of the things that James says are simple, easy to be understood, about a matter that is of great consequences to us. We're dealing here with probably one of the smallest members of our physical body, and it's yet one that sometimes we pay little or least attention to. You know, we do makeup, we fix our hair, we want to shave. If we're a man, we look into the mirror every day to take care of our physical appearance, and that's as it ought to be. But it's sometimes the tongue that in everyday life gets so little attention. But notice what he says here. We put bits in horses' mouths. Somebody may make the statement that, well, the verse says, you know, that we've been able to tame all of the creatures of the earth, but the tongue can no man tame. Well, that's true. The tongue is a wild thing, but he also talks about putting a bridle on it. And a bridle, as long as that bridle is on, we are in control. Whenever we put the bridle on that horse, you know, that horse is a wild animal, and yet we bridle it, and when we put that bridle on, we can mount that animal, and we can turn it in whatever direction we want to go. We can make it go slow. We can make it go fast. We can make it stop. It's as long as the bridle. But what would that horse do without the bridle? Well, it would go where it wants to go, and that's true of the tongue. We have to put the bridle on the tongue. Yes, it's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. No man can tame it, but we can bridle it. So let's don't excuse ourselves by saying that, well, you know, I'm just one of those persons that speaks my mind. Well, we've read that passage of Scripture already, that for a person to speak his mind is a fool to do so. No, we don't need to let everything that pops into our mind come out of our mouth. We need the bridle. And with that bridle, we can control, we can tame the tongue. Just like the bridle tames the horse, just like that little small rudder on that extremely big ship will control the direction of that ship wherever the captain wants that ship to travel. It's a little member, but as it said there in verse 5, it boasts great things, how great a matter a little fire kindles. You know, what does it take to start a forest fire? A single match, a single cigarette that's thrown from a car. From such a very small thing can come something that destroys hundreds of thousands of acres of land, houses. So the tongue is just like that. The tongue can dissolve friendships that have been for a lifetime. Words that are spoken are not words that we can take back. Once they leave our mouth, they're out there, they're gone, and we can't stop them. But we can stop them inside our minds, inside ourselves, when we bridle our tongues. But by our words, we can be condemned. By our words, we can be justified. It may very well be that we'll stand before the judgment bar of God, and because of idle words that we've spoken, that we have not obtained forgiveness of through repentance, that we may, as the passage says, see the devil's hell. That's how serious our tongues are, and that's how important that it is that we bridle our tongues and bring them into control, because no spring brings forth bitter and sweet water. Therefore, let us not use our tongues to curse men and to bless God. Another word for that is a hypocrite. And so it is. Let's use our tongues, because our tongues are connected with our hearts. Whatever's in our heart is what comes out, and usually it will always find its way out through the use of the tongue. So the tongue is a very important matter that we need to consider. It took up almost all of the third chapter of the book of James. So truly, the Holy Spirit saw it necessary to give us these verses, as well as all of many other verses that we've looked at scattered throughout the scriptures about the use of our tongues. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.